Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. We're here to break down preseason game number one from Sunday against the 49ers and the Raiders' two joint practices against the LA Rams this week. A lot to talk about, a lot to get to. Ted and Tashawn were at the Raiders and Rams practice today and the last 2 days. Vic was there on... What's today? Today is Thursday. Vic was there Wednesday. Let's just start there before we get back into a little bit of the preseason opener. What were the big takeaways from taking on the Rams? We know the first practice, a little bit of a scuffle with Max Crosby, but how'd things go on day two?
Yeah, I mean, kind of carry over from the rest of training camp. Jimmy Garoppolo and the first team offense were kind of up and down, I would say, across the 2 days. They have some flashes where they put it all together and then, you know, fall into some ruts, where they either struggle to move the ball or, you know, can't come up with points. I will say they protected the ball better this week than they have in recent weeks. Like, you haven't seen a bunch of interceptions and things of that nature. It's more so just not being able to move the ball. I would say the Rams were pretty aggressive in coverage against the Raiders and challenged them to win. And obviously the Raiders have pretty good receivers, so that's a gamble. But the Rams were able to hang with them. They stayed pretty competitive. I would say today in particular, the Raiders offensive line was getting beat up a little bit by that Rams front, which probably coincided with a guy named Aaron Donald practicing today after he didn't practice yesterday. And so that made a pretty significant difference. And so, you know, that's what training camp is for. That's what practice is for, is working out those kinks. But the offense is definitely still a work in progress. I think that was pretty clear through both days of joint practices.
I agree with Tashawn. I think the Rams played a much more aggressive style coverage-wise than they typically play. Like in the last few years with Brandon Staley and now Raheem Morris, they played a little bit more zone, soft zone coverage, but they were getting into the Raiders receiver spaces. I think that's, you know, a shift in philosophy they might make this year, but it was a much different look than what the Niners gave them. You know, even up front, the Niners were a four even front attacking type of team. The Rams defensively are on front and they are a little bit of a read react team, and coverage wise, they were trying to challenge the Raiders receivers. And the way to beat those coverages is to go deep. But we know Jimmy Garoppolo, that's not one of his strengths. So they were having a lot of trouble getting deep. Davante Adams did draw a couple of PIs, and they did finally connect deep in a two-minute drill. But we saw a lot of patting the ball, a lot of holding the ball that would have been sacks in games, and a lot of incompletions. I thought today they were better. They moved the ball a little bit more efficiently. Jacoby Myers is a guy that they went to in 11-on-11 that was able to beat that type of coverage. But I mean, I think it is going to be a challenge to win deep against these type of coverages, which I think the Raiders will see some more this season. But it was a lot of good work, and it kind of showed the Raiders what they need to work on moving forward.
I was here yesterday. I was also still impressed with the Raiders D-line. I thought they looked they keep looking good. They keep a lot of guys on numbers, which I think is a good sign for both the depth and getting guys in the rotation and some constant pressure. I thought Philip Dorsett had a nice day yesterday. I thought he showed his speed, and he still got some catch-making ability left. I think he makes the roster probably. Those were my big takeaways from yesterday. I thought today I was down in Chargers camp.
The defensive line, I was watching the offense, the Raiders offense today, but Jordan Rodrigue, our Rams writer, she was we kind of did a joint practice report today, and she was focused in on the Rams offense against the Raiders defense. And She said the Raiders defensive line, you know, had a really, really strong day again today. You know, Max Crosby, unsurprisingly, was dominant. The Rams starting right tackle, Rob Havenstein got hurt. And I think the backup right tackle, like, dislocated all his fingers on one of his hands or something like that. So they were, like, down to their third string right tackle at a certain point. It was a long day for the Rams offensive line. And so that made it tough sledding for them, you know, dropping back to pass. The Raiders defense, we've kind of been beating this drum all training camp, but they look to be, at least in practice, obviously it's just practice, but they seem to be more impressive than we anticipated so far. And I know the Rams team, obviously this isn't the same team that won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but, you know, they still have Matt Stafford and you know, really, really creative offensive mind in Sean McVay and some talented players. And so can't just brush off them, you know, having another good performance this week.
The old Al Davis way was to find these first round picks have been, you know, discarded by other teams, and I think they found another one. And Jerry Tillery last year wasn't super impressive when he came on, but he looks really good. He's had a great camp. He's a fly swinging yesterday. I think he's a guy that's in good shape and has some violent hands. Definitely a guy can get some pressure on the inside and help out Crosby and Chandler Jones.
And obviously all the optimism that you guys have been telling us about from what we've seen in training camp, it did translate over into that first preseason game against the 49ers. And we'll give every caveat that you need that the Niners did not play really any of their starters. But still, for the Raiders, we want to see, did those depth guys on the defensive line, are those guys able to really, you know, start making an impact? Vic has always had the running joke the last couple of years, the Raiders signed 37 defensive linemen. In the past, it was just a bunch of guys. Now it looks like they actually have guys that can rotate in there and make plays for them, and that's what we're seeing. And we saw it we saw it against the 49ers, where they made Trey Lance's life living hell, and they made his whole week hell, because the pressure that they put on him has obviously put a lot of put him in the spotlight for how poorly he played. You know, credit has to go to what the Raiders were able to do in that game, and for our first chance, people that aren't out there at practice to see that, that was an encouraging sign. Again, we're going to want to see it in the regular season, but it was nice to see that they were able to translate that over into a preseason game against a live opponent.
I think it's a great sign to show you're getting a lot done on D-line. That's with Chandler Jones being out the last 4 or 5 days. Tyree Wilson hasn't really done much yet. He started yesterday. So that's two of the big guys. They're still getting a lot of pressure and playing well, both in practice and in the game.
Yeah, they're going to have some tough cuts to make on the defensive line. I mean, I know they've invested a fair amount of, you know, mid-round picks in the defensive line the last couple of years, between Neil Farrell and Matthew Butler, and before this regime, Malcolm Kuntz and Byron Young this year. And so typically those guys get a little bit more runway, but, you know, you have some of these veterans like John Jenkins and Adam Butler, and Jerry Tiller is obviously a step ahead of the rest of those guys, but even guys like Isaac Rochelle flashing in a preseason game and some of the others further down the depth chart. And so obviously they can't actually keep all 37 of their defensive linemen. And so it's going to be interesting to see who makes the cut. I think that could be a position where we see, you know, maybe a guy that was a fourth round pick or fifth round pick get cut just because some other guys are outperforming them.
And the one guy, I think he talked today at the podium, I wasn't there, but John Jenkins is a guy that no one really talks about. He's a big guy. He's kind of a unique guy in terms of the size he has and brings that line. But he's a guy who played for the new D-line coach, Rob Leonard, in both New York and Miami. So he's got that connection, which you wanted. That's good enough to get him a spot.
Yeah, you referenced Tyree Wilson. He was activated from the non-football injury list ahead of these practices. There's going to be a ramp-up period for him. You know, he's what? 9 months now removed, I think, from the broken foot suffered last November. And so I think if you're a Raider fan, you're hoping, you know, I'm not going to see him out there on Saturday, but you would hope maybe you can see a little bit of him in the third preseason game. And if he can get his feet wet and be ready to go for week one, then that's what you were hoping for when you drafted him. And you can see if he's an impact player.
The last couple of days, he pretty much just did sled drills and bag drills, but when they got to the one-on-one sessions and 11-on-11, he was just sitting on the side. So, I mean, it's just like the very first step of ramping him up. But, I mean, when you look at him, he definitely looks the part with, you know, length, size-wise. This dude is just built to play football. And, you know, he isn't doing much, but you can see, some encouraging things are Max Crosby's really, you know, trying to mentor him and teach him. When Crosby's done with his rep, he's usually watching other guys coach him up too, but you can see him giving Tyree Wilson pointers and in between drills today, they're working on pass rush moves, just the two of them together. So, you know, Crosby's a great guy to learn from. But yeah, right now, Tyree Wilson's just not doing very much. It's the very first step of that ramp up period.
You know, I can't imagine there's any chance that he plays this weekend. You know, they're going to want him to go through a few full practices before he really, you know, has live contact. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe next week when they return to practice on Tuesday, I believe, you know, if he's able to start participating in some team drills and have some contact, maybe he could have a chance to play in that final preseason game against the Cowboys. But, you know, either way, like it's obviously a positive step for him to get back out there. I know there's a lot of concern about him, you know, missing the first 2 weeks or so of training camp and whether it would bleed over into the season. But, you know, as long as he's ready to go by week one, I think that's their anticipation. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Chandler Jones. Like, I guess that's something to watch. Like, he hasn't, you know, he practiced the first joint practice against the 49ers. He wasn't out there for the second one. He wasn't in the locker room. I didn't see him after the game, the first preseason game. He hasn't been out there this week. And so, you know, like if that ends up being something that's more long-term, maybe Tyree Wilson has a bigger role earlier on, but you know, ideally if they're able to get healthy, you know, Tyree Wilson, they're going to be leaning on him as their third pass rusher. And so it's more of a rotational role anyway. And so I'm sure the first couple of weeks of the season, he'll still be ramping his way back up to 100%. And so the good news is he has kind of a role where you can kind of ease back into it and you don't necessarily have to hit the ground running.
Right now, it looks like Malcolm Kuntz is the guy that is starting opposite of Max Crosby if Chandler Jones can't go and Tyree still working his way back up. So we talked about Kuntz and his potential on this pod before. I mean, you know, he's a pretty athletic guy, but kind of undersized. So, but he had a good game against the Niners. And I think you guys talked about him having a good, you know, some good practices against the Niners too. But yeah, it looks like he's the guy up right now if Chandler and Tyree can't go.
All right, Ted. I don't want to bring this up unless I know that you're ready and in a position to talk about it. I don't know if you need another week of recovery to discuss Brandon Parker's second straight year of being out for the season with an injury. Do you need more time before you're able to talk intelligently about this, or have you recovered sufficiently enough to give your take?
I've had a few days to process this, so I think I'm ready to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, it just sucks for Parker. I mean, you know, he was a starter, obviously, in the playoff year, and then he won the starting position with a new regime. So I think the staff thought, you know, they could have developed him, but just obviously terrible luck with getting injured, tearing his triceps last year. I don't know how he got injured this year, but likely spells the end for him. I mean, he might, you know, end up being a backup somewhere else, but just terrible luck, and just goes to show how hard it is to stick around the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he was mostly the fourth offensive tackle in the rotation. It's kind of opened the door for Dalton Wagner. He's an undrafted rookie. I believe he got the biggest signing bonus out of all the undrafted rookies that they had. He's a big-ass kid out of Arkansas. He's 6'8", 320, and they call him Big Country. He's already got a nickname. But he played a good amount in the first preseason game against the 49ers, mostly in the second half. And, you know, they like him. I mean, he has a lot of size, obviously, length. He's pretty athletic. He's still figuring out his technique. I think it was – I forget who it was that threw him on the ground last week, but somebody from the 49ers got him pretty bad in one-on-ones. And so, you know, he's still figuring things out, but maybe that could give him – some runway to challenge Justin Herron potentially for a roster spot as one of the depth offensive tackles.
Didn't we retire Big Country? Has that been done to death? I mean, a big white guy, always Big Country. I mean, that's kind of the guy to be more creative.
Hey, take it up with the Raiders, man. It's not my doing.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
All right, let's get back and talk a little bit about the preseason opener. And I mean, I'll just say my number one takeaway after watching one half of that is I don't need Brian Hoyer to be the backup this year. Go ahead and make Aiden O'Connell the number two. And we all understand why Brian Hoyer was brought in. He's a guy that that Josh McDaniels knows. He knows this offense. He's probably a good mentor. But yeah, I think we'd all had kind of been of the opinion that if this season ever featured Brian Hoyer playing significant snaps, that the season has gone way off the rails. And what did we say last week that we wanted to see going into that opener? We wanted to see, okay, how does Aiden O'Connell look? Does he look competent out there? Can he, does he look like he can play at an NFL speed? And I think he checked all those boxes. Again, caveats. It was not against the starting defense, but Trey Lance didn't play against the starting defense, and we saw how he looked. And I mean, I think what we saw out of Aiden O'Connell in NFL debut was very encouraging.
I need to see Brian Hoyer, man, this week. Let's get a battle going, competition. I got to see Hoyer answer back.
I don't need to see it.
Hoyer's going to clap back. Trusted and true veteran they brought in out of retirement. I'm out of near retirement. He knows the system well. Let's see what they can do. Let's give the old guy a chance.
Anyway, Aiden O'Connell looked pretty good in the first preseason game. His stat total isn't anything that's going to like blow you away, but it's more so how he was managing the game. He was getting the ball out quickly. A couple times he was pressured. He handled it pretty well, didn't get too flustered. You know, he showed a little bit of wiggle. He just threw the ball away, but there was one play where he kind of ducked the oncoming edge rusher that went unblocked. And so he's not known for his mobility, but he showed, you know, that he has some pocket presence. You know, and I thought he, you know, looked pretty capable out there. You know, in practice, they've kind of been alternating it where he doesn't really get too much time during team drills. Like even against the Rams, it was mostly Garoppolo and Hoyer today and yesterday. It seems to be like their strategy is to give them most of the practice reps and then let O'Connell play the majority of preseason games. And so, you know, I think those reps are probably more valuable to him. I mean, it's live contact, obviously, and he's, you know, playing, you know, essentially three quarters of football. And so I think he's on pace. You know, don't want to overreact too much to one game. But, you know, if he keeps playing like that the rest of the preseason, I'm pretty sure that he'll take that backup job. Obviously, the Raiders are hoping that neither him or Hoyer ever see the field. But if, you know, the worst case happens, then I'm thinking O'Connell will be the guy.
I mean, I think whatever the depth chart says doesn't really matter. Brian Hoyer can be number two on the depth chart and give him the veteran privilege there. I think our read is the situation has always been like, okay, if there's a game where Garoppolo goes out and you need to throw somebody in there to finish up the game, you mop it up with Hoyer. But if there's a long-term injury and you need somebody to start the last eight games of the season, that's when you probably give O'Connell a look. And I think that's where he showed be okay with watching Aiden O'Connell play for eight games and seeing what he can do.
The thing is, he was able to handle the pre-snap operation for this offense really well. There's a lot of responsibility for the quarterback pre-snap in this offense. And, you know, I thought he did that pretty smoothly against the Niners. I mean, obviously these are pretty vanilla looks that he's getting, but, you know, he still handled it well. But I mean, his ball placement really stood out to me. I mean, like every pass was almost exactly where you want it. I think he only had one or two passes where it was a little off, but his accuracy was what really stood out in that game against the Niners. So I think he was a little off during practices. I mean, there was a couple touchdown passes he could have had, but he just like overthrew them by just a little bit. But that's more just a timing thing. So I was pretty impressed by O'Connell. But where he needs to get tested next is just more complex looks on defense and how is he going to handle it when a defense pressures him a little bit more.
Yeah, I thought he was definitely better in the game than he was at camp. I definitely, that's probably a good sign. He's more of a gamer. I think definitely we talked about in the past his accuracy. That's his big calling card, and you can see why. I think he has some poise. I want to see more. I mean, it was the only game on TV across the country, so he got a lot of buzz off that performance. So he played well, but let's bring it down a little bit, and we'll see what it does this next week, and if you can build off that first one.
He wants his guy Garbers to get that number three job. He's pulling for his cow guy.
No, everyone knows my stance on Chase Garbers.
Zamir White was another guy we were really interested to watch just because, you know, we think we know what will eventually happen with Josh Jacobs and that he'll be back here before the start of the season, but we don't know, and kind of regardless of what happens with Jacobs, you know, if he shows up Wednesday of week one, he's not going to go out there and get 25 carries. I mean, they're going to need Zamir White this season. And I think, you know, he played basically that whole first half and, you know, he had a touchdown. He had a couple of decent runs. And then I think he started off a little bit fast and then kind of slowed down and was getting stopped a little bit more. Overall, what was our take from getting to see some extended looks at Zamir White?
I thought White is, you know, who he is. He's not a guy that's going to break a ton of tackles. He had pretty good blocking against the Niners, but I don't think he broke one tackle. And I thought that he left some yardage on the field, but, you know, I just don't think he's that back that has the wiggle to break tackles and not near the level of Josh Jacobs. So I think, you know, with Jacobs, there's a pretty huge gap between him and the rest of the Raiders running back room. I think there are some teams with other backs that, you know, have starting potential, but I think White is pretty much a number two back, and they, you know, are praying that Josh Jacobs comes back pretty soon.
He was running behind the backup offensive line, and so don't want to crush him too hard. You know, could he look better with the starters? Maybe, but there's obviously a clear gap between him and Josh Jacobs. You know, and if it was Zamir White, like if Jacobs took it to the extreme and sat out through the start of the season, then they would have to lean on a running back by committee approach and would be throwing the ball a lot more, I'm sure. So, you know, I wouldn't say it was a surprise at all. Like, I didn't expect him to come out there looking like Emmitt Smith necessarily. So, looks about what I expected from him.
My bar is pretty high for Zamir White. I think he's pretty good, so I was a little disappointed. I thought he's a downhill guy, so he's got to break some more tackles. That one play, when he's running towards the corner of the end zone, he got stopped. He's got to score on that one. But, again, it's early, so I don't have time to kind of build off this. But I thought it was a good pick. I think he had some good upside, so I was hoping to see a little more out of him. But we still have the rest of camp and the rest of the game, so hopefully he can build off that first game and show his power and his ability to make some tackles.
Is there any point if Zamir White looks, you know, if he doesn't impress more, if he doesn't kind of show that ability to break tackles, is there any point during this camp where Josh Jacobs gains a little more leverage? I mean, none of us really think that he's in a crappy position where he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage. And I, you know, I don't know that the Raiders are really going to come with, you know, much of a change of heart in terms of adjusting a 1 year offer. But is there any point where you think Jacobs could gain a little leverage if Zamir White is underwhelming in the next few weeks?
According to Dave Ziegler, he was over there signing autographs with some fans at the game and got into a back and forth with a fan who was telling him to throw some incentives in there. And he said he wasn't against that. So I don't know. Maybe they can get him up to get him to the Saquon deal or $12 million or something. Maybe they'll get him back in there.
Give that fan a cut, man. I should have cut of Josh's contract when it comes true. Look at that guy. But I think we'll see more of Brandon Bolden.
You trying to take away money from Josh Jacobs? Come on. Who the hell's trying to take away money from Josh Jacobs? God, Vic, get out of here.
If Zamir doesn't show more, then you might see more of Amir Abdullah and Brandon Bolden, which is pretty exciting. So I think that would be the way to go, not more leverage for Josh, in my opinion.
What other takeaways did we have from that preseason debut? I mean, obviously, you know, usually when a team opens up the preseason, you're kind of looking forward to seeing the rookie class, and certainly the first two picks did not participate with Michael Mayer also out. But you know, Trey Tucker was out there. You know, what else? What other takeaways did we have from the preseason opener?
Fotheringham, he looked pretty good. I never heard of him before. You know, pretty interesting last name, but he moved really well. he moved really well, and you know, I think if he keeps playing this way, I mean, maybe he gets more targets than Mayer. I mean, I know Mayer was a high draft pick, and they consider him a first-round draft pick, but, you know, I think he has a little bit of a learning curve as far as blocking, and he just doesn't have that natural athleticism that you can kind of rely on. So, you know, maybe Fotheringham, you know, earns some more snaps and earns a role in his offense. He's playing well.
Strong leap there. I mean, he looked good, but
I like that one.
Maybe the third tight end job might be up for grabs. In all seriousness, if you know, I mean, he's competing with Jesper Horsted and Jacob Hollister, so you know, just can't completely rule him out if he keeps playing like that. He's looked pretty good in practice as well. I know Vic said he stood out the first day, but I would say the defensive line. I know we've been talking a lot about the offense, but I mean they. I think Jimmy said earlier, I mean, they had Trey Lance and Hill out there really the whole first half. And it wasn't just one guy, you know, it was winning over and over. It was really just a unit collectively. And none of the starters played, so there were all backups out there. And that just really showed off the depth of this defensive line and that it could translate not just, you know, from them having good practices, but that they could carry it over to games as well. And I think that made life pretty easy on the secondary. You know, that's why Jacorian Bennett was out there, but I don't really think he was challenged too much. You know, I think the secondary had a pretty cozy game back there because of how well the defensive line was playing. And so you know, that was the main takeaway to me on defense was, you know, seeing that, you know, the guys that have stood out in camp could actually translate it to live action.
Another topic that I think we have to discuss is that I think the corner spot opposite of Marcus Peters is pretty wide open. You know, I know Bennett was getting a lot of snaps there, but it seems like they're rotating guys in, you know, they're rotating guys in against the Rams. So there's no starter penciled in.
David Long was working at some starting snaps, but even when he was around in OTAs and training camp, like Ja'Quarian Bennett, I would say was getting the majority of the first team snaps. So I would still say he's leading right now. I think Long was coming off of an injury. He missed like a week and a half of practice. And so I'm sure they wanted to get him some more reps as a veteran. I figure he probably won't play in the preseason game this weekend, but Bennett will. And so I probably wouldn't read too much into that. I do think Bennett still has an edge when it comes to the other starting outside corner spot opposite of Marcus Peters. But Belong has played well throughout training camp. So I do think if he's healthy that, you know, at worst, he's the third outside corner and makes the roster from a depth standpoint. But ironically, he used to play for the Rams. And so it was kind of I'm sure he wanted to be out there this week. And he kind of had opportunity to start for them last year and didn't quite live up to it. And so, you know, but if he can be solid for them this year, I think that's fine. And Duke Shelley is another guy that's kind of in the rotation there, who played pretty well in the preseason game. But there's nothing wrong with having more than two reliable outside corners, and it seemed like they might have pulled that off with some of their moves this offseason.
And they can always sign someone. They can always sign a veteran cornerback or a veteran linebacker, maybe even a safety. I think there's going to be guys out there, and I think they have some money. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went the veteran route, but they weren't totally, you know, positive if these young guys were ready to step in and start.
Yeah, I would say linebacker stands out more to me. Like the depth behind Robert Spillane and Devon Diablo just doesn't. It's kind of scary a little bit. Like Luke Masterson played solid for an undrafted free agent last year and started a few games and looked competent. But after that, it's kind of just, you know, there's not much shape to the group. You know, Amari Bernie, they took him in the seventh round. He's had an RA training camp. And you mentioned Curtis Bolton. He's more of a special teams guy. Darian Butler was another UDFA they liked from last year. But, you know, I mean, for the linebacker position, it was pretty ravaged by injuries last year. And they don't really seem to have that depth this year. And so maybe that's a position where, you know, I think that would stand out more in terms of that back seven if they're going to add some veteran help.
And there should be some guys available after cuts, too. I think that might be able to help.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, any big things you're looking for in Saturday's game against the Rams? I know personally I'm at this point where, you know, until we get to see Tyree Wilson and Michael Mayer, I'm ready just to get to the regular season opener. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's 9 jobs to be won, man. A lot of guys fighting for their lives. Good stuff.
Cool Fotheringham.
I want to see the O-line battle. I want to see a tight end. Obviously, Fotheringham's making a move on Michael Mayer. I got to watch that.
Just for the early, I'm not saying career wise.
Don't walk it back. Don't walk it back. I liked it. It was good. I'm with you. Then mentioned the linebackers on the wide open jobs there, and then the cornerback. So I just want guys to make plays. I want to see guys make plays and to give you some hope they can make plays when it counts. So that's what I'm looking for on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of offense for me. I want to see, you know, better performance from Zamir White, see if Trey Tucker can make up for a couple of drops he had in the first preseason game. He had a nice touchdown catch today from Brian Hoyer against the backups. And then Aiden O'Connell, can he put together another one? You know, the second straight good game, or does he have some of those rookie struggles pop up? So I think the defense, you know, especially since it's going to be Stetson Bennett out there, I think they're probably going to be all right on that side of the ball. But be interested to see some of the young guys on offense, how they perform.
I want to see, you know, Fotheringham take another step up. And
have you replaced Brandon Parker as your favorite player? Have you ordered the jersey yet?
He's my new Brandon Parker, right, guys? So, but I also want to see Bennett. You know, I think the Raiders will probably be rooting for, you know, Bennett to take that job. It'll be up to him to put together some good film. You know, anytime you could get a rookie to start at corner and play well, that's always a good sign. So I'll be watching him.
All right, guys. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here, and we'll see what happens on Saturday night. And we'll be back next week to get you ready for that preseason finale. I think we'll probably use next week to kind of break down what we're thinking for that 53-man roster. Maybe we'll We will have to pick our super sleeper, right? When do we normally do that? Should that have been done early in camp, I guess?
Yeah, it should have been, but tough year. I like Cam Sims early on, but he's got no shot, so I'm glad we didn't do it. I would have been dead wrong.
Well, give us the week to think about it, and at least this way we'll make an educated prediction next week, and then we'll find out a few days later if we're actually right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. See you guys next week.
Later, guys.
Hasta la vista. Sam!